And Pound said, I think in 1912, mm-hmm. You can't just take mediocre prose and chop it up into line breaks. Exactly. And so much of what we read today, what passes for poetry, what passes sure. for some poetry at some of the highest levels yeah. is that. You take the line breaks out of it, and it's like, really? This is it?
Yeah.
So there has to be some kind of notion, some kind of poetics
yeah.
that says, I need to do something different than that. And you yeah. have that, but yeah. a lot of people don't.
It's what did Duncan say, the tone leading of vowels. It's about finding a sound pattern that's working and then writing it. Feels very about tension, creating and experiencing a tension of thought and feeling and sound and enjoying that moment of that the tension is held. And then what I love too is then the reading experience. You try and read this thing that doesn't really have a syntax that's all about the line breaks. You again, as a breather and speaker, you go right back into that wonderful tension. That's the dynamism of the poem. It's energy that keeps it alive.
That happy experience, as Bowring says, of getting to be the first reader of yeah, the poem.
Exactly, which is a wonderful way of looking at it, isn't it? Because that's exactly what it's like. You're like, oh, look at this. Here's a new poem I can read.
Yeah. Page 89. How about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure thing.
This is the Oregon writing tradition. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. During the organ writing tradition. Like it was information, all energy transmission, like absorbing heat, radiating heat, like that was information. Primary, like contrast of resources out, commodities in, or hot, cold, kids touch, don't touch, the future of fire and entropy. A bee like, honey, you given me nothing, now I'm all the nothing I can be, like you can give Echo new bunny men, but Narcissus just stares and stares, and then someone said, if we are protesting, it's for funkin' rights, as they drove out back, drilled and dumped it in the river. So like swan song, big yellow river gold tailings and organs. We were writing on our organs in chemical to beat out better deaths on the keys that are given or imagined. Now I can remember, right? You go back and go, oh yeah, this is a spontaneous riff from that title. And a few things tweaked and changed after the original version, but mostly just in terms of moving around line breaks, I think. Not a lot of change after it was written, really.
Yeah.
So who knows why Echo and the Bunnymen suddenly appear, right? They just happen to be there.
That's a great follow-up. Echo and the Bunnymen in one place, Bruce Coburn in another place, Talking Heads in another place, Louis Zukofsky as a trope, his statement about lower-level speech, upper-level music, and that's kind of played with throughout the book.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, those things just come up because they're part of what's going on in our head.
That's right. Yeah.
Are you the kind of, someone will say something to me and I'll immediately think of either a song lyric, a joke, or a poem. Quite often an American sentence that's related to it.
That's right.
You get the same thing?
Oh, sure. Yeah. That stuff is sort of so much part of what we're made up, right? And I come from a long line, I think, of bad singers. Meaning my father would walk around singing pop songs of his day horribly all the time. And I tend to be the kind of person who's always got the song in my head.
What was one of the pop songs your dad would sing?
Oh, God. It was all 40s, 50s, big band era. What he really loved.
Merci dotes and dozy.
Oh, he totally did that all the time. That's the first thing he pulled. My dad totally did that all the time. He loved that.
Yeah.
He would sort of, he would try and joke, I'm actually speaking Latin. He would do it really fast.
How do you get down off an elephant?
Oh, yeah.
You don't get down off an elephant. You get down off a duck. No, but what if you're on the elephant? My dad would just even never tell us.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
It's classic.
Yeah.
I read the Bulletin of the Commons, another Yellow Dildo port poem. I get this. It feels like an elegy for our civilization.
Yeah, it is. It is, for sure.
Are you pessimistic?
Yeah. Well, that's a hard one to answer because I am naturally and inherently an optimistic person. But it's very hard not to be deeply pessimistic about what's going on. So those two forces fight each other like crazy inside my consciousness, I guess. I think the world is obviously changing in a drastic and desperate and very terrible way. But I think, you've got to always be able to qualify and be careful about that. in part just because of where that kind of, the kind of hysterical direction that kind of thinking can take you in. But, you know, I see these stories go by and, you know, oh, we'll be extinct in 10 years. I'm like, come on. Let's be scientific here, man. Look outside and we're not going to be extinct in 10 years. But things are going to drastically change. And we're, the challenge to me is less a matter of stopping it now, because I think there's too many things we simply can't stop because of the, you know, simple fact of who are we? Me and Paul sitting at this table, you know, we're just two people. But also because so many things are already in process that they're locked in. The outcomes are already coming at us no matter what we do right now. The question is not how to stop it, but how we will adapt to it. That's the challenge. And also how we will build better societies and relations between each other and between us and the rest of the life forms here in this new changed environment. So in some ways, the goals haven't changed at all. It's just your resources to achieve those goals have changed. They've been depleted largely.